Paul and I are here at RegTech Melbourne, and we've got our first episode of Off the Leash with Ron Lesh. Ron, you've just done a national tour of BGL's RegTech. We're so excited to add this new segment onto our show because what we love about you is you hold no punches. You just stood up in your keynote and I heard you blame every other person who's responsible for a feature not being in BGL. You refuse to hold the basket for everybody's nonsense. You hold people to account. We love your support at From the Trenches. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. We've been running around the country talking about technology, where we think it's going, where we think that our clients need to be and need to look to work to get to. So we've run accountants in beta, which we think they're all in beta and really need to get out of beta. So one of the things we've been talking about as we moved around the country is how we get some sort of resemblance of sanity around financial services and especially around the accountant's exemption. So we're going to start a campaign, and we've started it already, to ask the government to reconsider this whole issue around the accountant's exemption for self-managed super. We think it's crazy that the most trusted advisors are not allowed to advise on what they are best to advise at. So we're going to work with, hopefully with ASIC and hopefully with the government, to get to a point where the accountant's exemption comes back, or at least we can get self-managed super funds removed as a financial product. I think that's a starting point for a lot of industry change. We currently have statements of advice of 30 and 40 pages that nobody reads, which means they're really just useless pieces of paper. And we really need to rethink the whole way that financial services are delivered in this country. I think we need to get rid of vertically integrated businesses. You can't have the person providing the product selling the product because it just doesn't work. And we've seen the result of that through the Royal Commission in the past month or so. So we want to start to run a campaign to try to get ASIC to have a think about what they're doing, to try to get the government to have a think about what they're doing and come up with a simple solution that actually works in a way to deliver financial services. So that's our current project. After last year's success with T-Bar, we hope to have some success with this as well.
BGL's, in the scheme of accounting software, it's a private company. It's reasonably small by software companies, but smallish. You can explain where you think you sit on the spectrum. Mm. But what you're talking about here is proper, it's not just industry advocacy, it's actual leadership. It's actually taking the fight to the person who's going to punch back at the other end. Why do it? Why you? Why aren't the bigger guys doing it?
That's a very good question. I'd like some answers from some of them as to why they're not doing it. I think there's a lot of self-interest, and that's probably why they haven't done it. We already seem, you know, we've been doing this for 2 weeks already and just had a few articles, and I seem to have the support of the Institute of Public Accountants. They're happy to help us. We're going to talk to other organisations to hopefully get them on board to help us as well. The problem I find is that most of the accounting organisations are really doing what's best for them and not what's best for the members, and they don't ask the members a lot of things about what needs to be done. And as a result, they act, you know, as professional staff do in a professional organisation, but not in the interest of the members who they're supposed to be serving. And that's one of my biggest complaints about the accounting bodies.
BGL have been around for an awful long time, Ron. Can you maybe tell us about some of the struggles around how you stay relevant in terms of, you know, still keep growing? We see a lot of tech businesses start, stop, ride a gravy train of either desktop or a certain system, you know, and I guess miss that wave. You know, we've seen it in a lot of sense. How have you stayed on that wave?
Now look, it's a really good question. Now look, I suppose we've been through two complete changes in our business. The first one was moving from DOS to Windows. Now we're moving from Windows to cloud. So we've been through that process now twice. How do we do it? Look, I think it's having a great team of people who are passionate about what they're doing and want to make sure that we move to the next step. And we know that over the last couple of years, we've had to reinvent ourselves. We've had to go from being seen as a desktop organisation to being seen as a cloud organisation. First RegTech last year was really the start of that. But I think just the way the guys have approached the technology, the using the technology, approach the way we do software development, move to an agile environment has really put us in good stead for moving forward. Now, to try to do that from desktop products, when we had that initial change many years ago, was probably just as difficult. You know, and probably everyone said then at that point, well, how's BGL going to cope with Windows? Well, we did, and we coped with Windows for 20 years or however many years it was, and now we're onto the next range of technology. So good team, good group of people, people that like technology, want to learn about technology, want to find out about new technology. You know, everything we're doing is new compared to 5 or 6 years ago.
And I think that's important for a lot of companies is to keep embracing that rather than saying, no, you know, our product is the answer. We don't need to innovate. You want to talk a little bit about accountants? I mean, we all deal with accountants every day. I am one in practice. Are you seeing, we often get told that Australians are probably ahead of the curve in terms of cloud adoption and giving it an Aussie go. But, you know, what are you seeing in terms of that lag effect of, are people sort of like really attached to desktop? You know, how do you see that sort of next wave of accountants or the majority of accountants, how do you see them in their journey of heading to cloud?
Well, look, I think in the space that we're dealing, we're well over 50% in the cloud now. So in self-managed super, over 60. In corporate compliance, probably a long way to go, but the numbers will get there reasonably quickly, I think. Look, I think accountants are learning they need to reinvent themselves. This is partially really what today's about, is sort of saying to them, well, you guys are in beta. You've got a lot of work to do to get to the next level of beta, let alone to ever get out of beta. And part of that is the adoption of cloud technology, and a lot of them are doing it. There's certainly resistance. There's certainly firms that will say, no, we're never going to do anything in the cloud. But then there's other firms that will say, no, we've moved everything to the cloud. So I think it's just a process over time. I think the ones that don't move to the cloud in at least the next 2 or 3 years are going to find themselves struggling to maintain their business models, because people are wanting to want information quicker, especially the younger generation. So I just can't see. I think they've got problems.
Do you think that the pressure on the business model, which Paul Meisner, I thinks there's almost none, so I'm curious for your response in a moment, Paul, is that I think that there is the change, which is through operations, which then just, it helps you do what you kind of do already better without any bolt-on services. There's a lot of messages about needing to bolt-on services. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Look, I've got no doubt that there's 4 or 5 or 6 areas where accountants need to be doing stuff and they're not. Business advisory is one. You can't advise a business unless you've got up-to-date financials. So that really pushes you to the cloud, because you're not going to have those up-to-date financials as easily on the desktop. So that's the first step. If you're going to become a real business advisory practice, then that's what you're going to do. The second thing we've been talking about is actually compliance advisory, which is a huge area for accountants, because they have that expertise, but they're not using that expertise at the moment. They're too busy doing the compliance work rather than advising on the compliance work. Therefore, the solution to that, I see, is to get themselves automated so that they can do the compliance work easier. Therefore, they can better consult on it. So when a client wants to do something, the first port of call becomes their accountant from a compliance perspective to make sure they do that. And then there's all the stuff around financial planning, succession planning, all this sort of stuff that a lot of accountants don't want to do. But when we have an aging generation, we've got so many baby boomers, they are still, from an accountant's perspective, a huge source of income over the next 10, 15, 20 years. So to meet their needs, we need to look at how we can provide those services. Now, I don't know necessarily whether that's having a license, using financial planners, doing it yourself. There's certainly a lot of stuff around there where you don't need to be licensed. I think it's a huge opportunity for accounting firms, and especially the younger firms, because the younger firms can advise that group of clients on moving into the next phase of their lives, and can be working on the younger clients to bring them in to take over the businesses and run the next generation of their businesses effectively.
You mentioned something, a couple of things interesting for me was around that compliance advisory piece. And look, I sort of do it day to day, you know, although I've said often that I don't sell advisory. I do it a hell of a lot of it in general. And I think
you should be selling it.
Well, I do, but not cash flows and other stuff, but that compliance advisory and advice. I think the interesting thing for me is it, accountants aren't doing it because, or I feel accountants aren't doing it because they don't have access to the real-time data. You get access to real-time data and then your skills match the ability to do it. You've just got to learn to price for it. FreedomMechanicSystem.com has an ebook. I keep throwing that in.
It's a good ebook. People should listen to it. It's got actual answers to the things Ron's talking about.
You mentioned, Ron, about the aging demographic, and you've got a lot of, obviously, you know, a lot of data, anonymized data about it. You know, how do you see Australia's economy and I guess the small business economy as we see a great whack of our income earning, tax paying population head into retirement? You know, I guess, are there enough accountants? Are there enough younger generation to take up the slack?
Look, I think that's a huge problem. And we're seeing it through accounting firms now that they find it difficult to recruit young accountants, difficult to keep them. They all want to go into the areas they consider to be sexy, not necessarily compliance and things. So they want to try and find, you know, jobs in some startup that they think is going to make them a fortune in yeah. 6 months rather than actually working in the profession like a lot of us have for a long time.
It's more likely to be out of business in 6 months.
Yeah, well, quite likely. Exactly right. So there's a lot of that. I don't know. I think it's what we're seeing is what we've got to see is trying to make accounting sexy again. I don't know how you do that.
TED Talks.
Oh, well, that's how TED Talks. Okay, that makes accounting sexy. I think we've got the reason people or young accountants want to get out of it is because they don't want to do the crap work.
Yeah.
If you give them more interesting work to do, they'd stay. But if all their time they're doing general ledger work and preparing financial statements and just doing the crap stuff, then you're not going to keep them. They're going to go out and look for something more sexy.
Yeah.
So you've got to find something sexy to give them and be that. Financial advice, be that some business consulting, but whatever that happens to be.
Ron, this is our first episode of You've Just Experienced What Happens on From the Trenches. The interviews are unplanned, it's largely disorganised, and we didn't know what we were going to do just then.
And I didn't know what I was going to say.
That is exactly how we roll. So this is the first episode. Mate, you're going to be coming on once every few months just to give your brain dump of what's happening in the industry, what you're seeing through what BGL sees. We definitely want updates on how you're going, getting financial advice reinstated for accountants, and we're obviously here to spread the word and do what we can help. Thanks for your support of the podcast. We're huge fans of BGL and yourself, what you do for the industry. Any final messages for the audience?
No, really, I suppose just keep doing it.
Find a way to make yourselves sexy. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of From the Trenches. David and I love hearing feedback from all of our listeners. If you ever have any content, feel free to reach out. I can be reached at Paul Meissner on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Fiveways Group.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, B-O-Y-A-R, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.